Is there a coffin in there?
People laugh at this one. This is James Stiff.
Oh, James.
Was a Lambeth Potter. a stiff.
Well, that's that's what everyone is in here.
We've got a mapping web. We've got an Edgar of Swan and Edgar, the big department store on Regent Street. We've got Higgs of Higgs and Hill. The names just go on.
Endless.
We have someone called Thomas Gabriel, who's apparently a descendant, is a pop star called Peter Gabriel. Oh, hello, I'm Bob Flanagan. I'm the chairman of the Friends of West Norwood Cemetery. The Friends started in 1989. We were formed in response to news that Lambeth Council were destroying some of the listed monuments in the cemetery, which we thought was totally wrong, given the cemetery is such a historic place. It's the second of the great commercial cemeteries in London, opened in 1836, and it was always, together with Council Green, the most fashionable and prestigious place to be buried. It cost twice as much to be buried here as it did at Highgate. And it didn't just cater for the very rich, it also provided burials for the ordinary citizens of Norwood and of Lambeth.
My name's Sheldon Kingsley Goodman and I'm a cemetery enthusiast. I think they're beautiful places and I actually see them as almost libraries of people, except they're not with us now. They're like books on a shelf waiting to be, not taken out exactly, but you can certainly find out about them.
Pull a name off a headstone, put it in Google and see what comes up. You'd actually be amazed.
6 feet under, these are bodies that have lived and loved and laughed and cried.
Now, going back to the foundation, why did they choose this site and why here?
The city churchyards and the parish churchyards were overfull with the growth of the city, and it was thought that it would be safe and hygienic, possibly a place of secure burial. We just founded just after the Anatomy Act, so there was not so much a pressure on body snatches and things. But they were built to be well outside any possible expansion of London. No one in 1836-37 could predict how big London would become in only a few years. One reason for having the cemetery here was that it's on an elevated site, so there were good vistas. There's also a good thickness of London clay, so there was plenty of depth in which to dig graves.
This site is built on London clay, and the River Ephra runs through the bowels of it. Now, the thing with London clay, it's very slippy. You put a coffin in, might not stay there. But a lot of the inhabitants here have ended up going on little jollies. When it rained heavily sometimes, the coffins would rise up, obviously because they're being pushed up by the water, and
yeah,
people are having to stamp on the coffins to try and get them back down again.
So you're right, it's not necessarily a place of rest.
Kensal Green was the first, then this one, then Highgate and Nunhead came next, and then Brompton, and then Tower Hamlets. Sorry, there's one more, Abney Park. So they're all in place by 1841. But by 1900 it was largely full and the cemetery was using its reserve space. And by about 1920 there's been out of burial space there.
How many people are buried here?
There's something like 40,000 individual graves, something like 170,000 burial, and about 40,000 cremations. And we've got Mrs. Roberts, who was Florence Nightingale's principal nurse in the Crimea. We've got Sir Henry Tate, yes, the Tate Gallery. This is Lawson Johnston, Mr. Bovril. So we have Mr. Cube, Tate, and Mr. Bovril next to each other. So this is our foodie corner.
This is. Mrs. Beaton can't be far away.
Mrs. Beaton's just over the back.
It's very cheery. I first came here last year. It was spring. It was every tree was almost covered in purple blossom. Well, this one's known because it's got the most ancient sculptures in any graveyard in London. In that case, it makes me think of it as an art gallery more than anything.
It is unique in several respects. First of all, it was designed as a piece by one architect, William Tite. And if you just look behind, you'll see his catacomb.
It needs a bit of a dust and a sort of polish.
So not only was he the architect for the whole thing, but it was also designed in a Gothic style. Cemeteries before were largely classical. Tite broke with tradition, not only the buildings and the iron railings, but also, as far as we know, we designed the archway to the cemetery, and also two cemetery chapels. We lost the chapels in the Second World War. One, the basement of which we're in now, underneath the Episcopal Chapel, we still have the full set of catacombs. We've got about 3,000 or so coffins down here. Why catacombs in a commercial cemetery? Well, so they served the function of people who wanted something different than earth burial.
So you've got different kinds of graves. You had the commoners' graves, where basically people were chucked in, paid for by the local authority. Then you've got the private graves, which are the same thing, but for families, where most of us will probably end up. Then you've got the brick-lined graves, where you've got a brick shaft, and you basically just place the coffins in on top of each other. And then you've got the mausoleums, which you can see here. You'd be sealed in a triple-lined coffin and put on a shelf, like a very expensive bottle of wine. And then you've got the catacombs.
The coffins came up and down in here through this unique contraption here.
Yes, I've been looking at that. It's sort of slightly scary.
The coffin would be brought in into the chapel and placed on the top of the coffin lift in the chapel. And you'd have a slow reverential descent of the coffin into the catacombs.
My God. Drama.
Absolutely.
I mean, you've been here many times before, but how do you feel coming down here?
You're not scared.
Not yet. Are you going to scare me?
No.
Don't be screaming at me or anything.
I won't, but it's dusty and rusty and there.
Well, it's not been used,
grand,
really.
But
it's not been used mainly since about 1900. You only have to go to places such as Lisbon and see how families look after cemeteries. They have a different attitude to many people in Britain, in that they're places to go and relax and to remember and to think and not have this thing about being ghoulish. We have Doulton as the potters here. We've got some famous cricketers here. We have 6 bare knuckle boxers, and more than I know of any other single place. There's one called Tom King, who actually beat the American John Camel Heenan over something like 85 rounds on a marsh somewhere out in Kent in the 1850s. There's a whole constellation. So the cemetery company itself ran into difficulties. We don't quite know why, but Lambeth did a compulsory purchase of the whole site in 1966. They hadn't got any clear plans for the cemetery, as far as we can see, and so they started bulldozing a lot of the monuments.
Do you think Titus turning in his grave next to us?
lots of people have been turning in the grave in this place over the years. We managed to get the clearances stopped. So we had a consistory court hearing in 1994, which essentially judged all the actions that Lambeth had taken since they purchased the cemetery were illegal, and they were ordered to restore the listed monuments they'd destroyed. It judged Lambeth not fit to run the cemetery, even though they were the owners. So a scheme of management was imposed where there was equal representation between the church authorities and Lambeth. So it's been a long saga, but this being said, we have made enormous progress. We've now got over 400 members from all over the country, even from Australia and America.
We'll take a little wander down here. There's another little section here, which is the Greek Orthodox Cemetery.
Why is there a Greek necropolis?
They had a big Greek community at Tulse Hill, and such that when their community required burial space, they bought an area within this cemetery, and it's got the largest concentration of surviving listed monuments in the cemetery.
God, if you want a monument, there it is. That looks like a blooming temple.
It's the chapel.
It looks like something you'd find on the Acropolis.
Yeah. Obviously here it's very classical because it's Greek.
Yeah.
But elsewhere in the cemetery you'll see Gothic arches, you know, in the Victorian era. No one was really sure what the dominant style should be.
Yeah.
So you've got this real mix of classic versus Gothic.
We also, interestingly, have a little German area, and this was because there was a German community in Forest Hill. We even have a part of the Rommel family, you know, Erwin Rommel. We've got some of his family buried here.
His ancestors?
Yes, his ancestors buried here, yeah.
Sir Hiram Maxim.
Machine gun man?
Indeed. He's the man responsible for filling up most of the world's cemeteries. What an awful way to describe his achievements, but I suppose it's kind of true in a way.
Well, we have Sir William Cubitt here.
He must have been part of the Cubitt family, who built Pimlico and Belgravia.
No, that was a different one. That's Thomas Cubitt.
But it's not part of the same family.
No, but we've got Thomas Cubitt here as well.
Oh! Oh, now you say. God, yes. Like anyone else you want to just drop?
Well, you just can't really remember all the names.
Where do you want to end up?
I'd like to go into a catacomb, and right. I'd like to go to Brompton. I'd rather be hermetically sealed, and, you know, if someone opened me up in 200, you'd go, oh, isn't he good looking? You know, that kind of thing.
I don't know if you will be good looking in 200 years time.
Well, you know.
You might, well, you'd definitely be thinner.
I have to sort of try and get on with my own life as well yeah. as being interested in the cemetery, because otherwise the cemetery will just take over.
And also, yes, before you know it, you'll be in here.
Don't even think about it.
Is that a bit of a weird question, but do you feel like you want to end up here?
I should think I'd be cremated and done away with somewhere. Death is part of life.